Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello there, everyone. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brew Ha Ha, the unofficial, unsanctioned, unlicensed podcast of the Beastie Boys. 2 weeks away from the release of Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. We will talk about that in a second. Also on today's episode, we will be joined by Mike Nishida, percussionist extraordinaire, his brother, of course, Money Mark Nishida. You could consider him a member of the Beastie Boys. We will talk to Mike Nishida, who was brought to us by Prof D. A couple days ago, Prof D was like, yo, I got some guy who'd be great for the podcast. And I was like, all right, who is it? He's like, Mike Nishida. I'm like, cool. And I think it just took like two emails, one phone call. It's on. It's on today. Mike Nishida will be on the Brouhaha. And then later on, Rhody, our good friend here on the Brouhaha, he is going to turn the tables on me, and I will actually compete in 20 questions. I don't know how Rhody got his questions. I don't know if he asked other people, if these are just Rhody questions. But today on the Brouhaha, I will see if I can answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly. But before we get to all of that, I just want to talk about release dates. Beastie Boys, as you guys know, my favorite band of all time. So release dates are sacred to me. May 3rd. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. It's kind of weird in the age of no record stores. I mean, there are record stores, but It would be an effort for me to actually go to a record store these days. No Tower Records in New York City. No Virgin Records in New York City. If I go to a used record store, I'm going to pay $19 for a new album. I ordered the deluxe edition. Does that come on Tuesday? Does that come on Wednesday? Or do I just buy it on iTunes? So I haven't decided how I'm going to celebrate May 3rd yet. But I want to go back in time to some other Beastie Boys release dates. License to Ill, was not aware that it came out. Paul's Boutique, not aware, just a youngster. Check Your Head, got into it a little after it was released, so I don't remember Check Your Head's release day. I do remember Ill Communications' release day. Came out in May. I was just out of college. Had it marked down on my calendar, actually took the day off of work for McDonald's so I could buy the album. Went to the record store at 9 in the morning. Actually, I went 10 minutes before 9. For some reason, I thought there was going to be a massive line out of the door. There was only one person in line. So we sat there quietly for 10 minutes. The door opened. And I kind of felt guilty. I thought, oh man, this guy beat me to the record store. He's a bigger Beastie Boys fan than I am. And he was actually at the record store to buy Dave Matthews tickets. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm the biggest Beastie Boys fan in Pittsburgh. So I went to the clerk. It was at National Record Mart in the Waterworks section, or the Waterworks Shopping Plaza of Pittsburgh. I said, yeah, I want the new Beastie Boys album, Ill Communication. And then the clerk was like, oh, is that out yet? I'm like, yeah, it's out today. And he had to go in the back and open up a box. It wasn't even on display yet. So I bought the tape, and I listened to it all day long, and I loved it. Next album release day, Hello Nasty. And this was actually an event. Me, Prof D, Smooth, T-Bell. Do you like how we all have nicknames? We're inspired by the Beastie Boys. I think we had a crew of like 8 or 9 people. My brother Danny, Mike McGrath, Gary Rogers. There was a midnight sale down in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh, and there were two stores who were selling the album. One store was, I think, just kind of like a used slash new record store, and the other one was a bigger chain that was being sponsored by the modern rock radio station at the time. And we're like, no, we're going to stay away from the whole modern rock thing. We don't want to hear DJs talking and yammering about stuff they don't know about the Beastie Boys. So we went to the smaller store. We brought our boombox. I think we had a piece of cardboard. We were doing some very amateur breakdancing. And before long, we actually attracted quite a crowd. And I would say around 10:30, because it was a midnight sale, the record store clerk, who was probably not expecting much at midnight, was like, wow, you guys are awesome. And he's like, because you've brought all these people here, we're going to give you a free copy of Hello Nasty. So he gave us a free copy of Hello Nasty, and for the next hour and a half, we had a little block party playing the brand new Beastie Boys album. Good times. The next album release day, To the Five Boroughs. I also purchased that at midnight at the Virgin Megastore in Union Square, and I brought my boombox along with me. So at midnight, bought the new album, went to Union Square with Fuzz and T-Bell, and we listened to the new album, bobbed our heads, got on the subway, went home. The next night, I actually got to host a live TV show with the Beastie Boys, live To the Five Boroughs. And I knew that they would be playing stuff from their new album, which they did, Triple Trouble. And I got the script that day because they were like, the Beastie Boys are going to perform two songs this night. I was like, they're probably going to perform like Triple Trouble and to check it out. I looked at the script. It said that they were going to perform So What You Want. And I thought to myself, holy crap, it's my favorite song of all time. I get to introduce my favorite song of all time. Well, the Beastie Boys, my favorite group of all time, perform it live. It was an unreal, surreal moment. And after that happened, everything else was gravy. You could say everything else was gravy or everything else was downhill, but that is when I peaked in the world of being a VJ. And then we go to the last album release day for The Mix-Up. Another summertime Beastie Boys album. This kind of depresses me. I could fib a story. I'm not going to fib. I don't remember what I did on the day that The Mix-Up was released. Because I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think if any of the record stores were opened back then. So I don't know. I don't think I did the Amazon thing where I got it sent to me on the day of. I think I probably went to the store, got it, listened to it, but there was no fanfare. And that will change on May 3rd. It's something about lyrics. I love the Beastie Boys. Don't get me wrong. I was very excited about the mix-up, but I wanted lyrics. I wanted to sing along. It was tough to do without any words. So, I will sing along on May 3rd. I will be excited. I'm going to do something special to celebrate. And whatever that is, I will tell you about it on an episode of The Brouhaha. Right now, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, Mike Nishida is in the house.
Welcome back to Oscilloscope Sports Team Barbecue Talk. I am Dan Harper. And to my left is
Hank Kingsley.
None other than, yes.
Yo, you know who I'm living with right about here, right? Beastie Boys. Yep. Full effect right about now. I got my Mella over here, Mike D. Cool Ad-Rod. MCA. Hurricane got Cloud. Knocking suckers' heads out. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
All right.
Pretty good.
Man, all right.
Everything's back at those two.
Hello, everyone. This is Scooter Franklin, former announcer of the Hershey Bears, letting you know that you are listening to The Brouhaha. Not a Donnybrook, a Brouhaha.
Is that good?
We have returned to The Brouhaha, and now joining us, Mr. Mike Nishida. Welcome, Mike.
What's up?
And you were,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were brought to us by Prof D. He gave me an email. He's like, man, I got someone that would be great for the brouhaha, Mike Nishida. And so the story is you guys sort of collided on eBay.
Yeah, eBay, the international meeting place. And my name is Mark Dole. And he got a doll for me and signed, and Mark signed a bunch of dolls, and I hope he enjoys it.
He will. And did you know, Mike, that Prof D is the premier Beastie Boys collector?
Wow, I didn't know that. He must have a museum, huh?
If you ever go to Pittsburgh, he will gladly invite you into his house, and he does have pretty much an impromptu Beastie Boys museum going on in Pittsburgh, PA.
Wow.
So, Mike, when I think of the Nishidas, the first thing I think about, you know, you have the Jungle Bugs, of course, and you have, you know, Money Mark playing keyboards for the Beastie Boys. But I think of you guys building the G-Sun. Were you part of that?
I was a little part of that. Actually, I was part of tearing it down. Me and Mario C were in charge of getting rid of G-Sun and putting everything in storage. That was fun. But yeah, I helped my Mark a bit. He did carpentry a lot. That was very interesting and a really cool place to hang out.
Wait, when was G-Sun torn down?
God, I don't know the year. I have no idea the year. But when it did...
Was it recently? Was it
This was a long time ago.
Okay.
Quite a bit ago, yeah. And everything was slapped in storage. And there was a guy who ran it. His name was Tick. God, I don't know his real name. But
Tick is his... Kenny?
You know Tick. Kenny, yeah.
Yes, Kenny.
I just saw him a couple weeks ago. Mario had a birthday party at his house. And he was there. I see him once a year, probably at Marshall's house.
Yeah, Kenny is Kenny Salcido, I think, right?
Yeah.
Who is one half of the Latch Brothers?
Yeah, and he's still in the business. He knows a lot of people.
Okay. Now, what kind of stuff did you guys put into storage?
Everything: speakers, instruments, a lot of memorabilia, and I got some of it. Mario has the original. Yeah, back cover of, I think it's Check Your Head. You have the collage on there with all the pictures. He has that in his studio in Silver Lake. And every time I walk by, I'm like, man, I want that thing. But he'll never give it up.
So, how big is the collage from Check Your Head?
It's probably, I'd say about 4 feet by, 2 feet. It's really, really cool. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You have my email, so just, send it on over.
Yeah.
What about the basketball hoop?
Basketball hoop? I would play a lot of hoop there.
But do you have the ABA basketball hoop from the G-Sun? Did you guys save that?
It's somewhere. I couldn't tell you right now, but it's put away somewhere.
Okay.
And, they had a skateboard ramp in there and a few parties there.
Do you remember the best party that happened at G-Sun? Do you have a memorable basketball game? Any good memories from the half pipe?
Yeah, we played it all the time. I mean, Mark has played in high school and was really good, so he had a lot of tricks. But no, we just banged a lot and just had a good time. But those guys. Especially Mike D was very, very serious about his game.
Wow,
very,
okay. But, now, out of the three Beastie Boys, who do you think has the best basketball game?
Oh, Ad-Rock, for sure. That guy's slick. He's small, but he's slick like a little lizard out there.
Because he does seem very athletic, and he currently is in a softball league, so that makes perfectly good sense.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Mike, you need to come out east. You need to come to New York.
I know. I need to. In fact, you know what? I'm coming out there, I think, in the next month to see a play, just to go see a play.
When? Are you going to be here in May?
I believe so, yeah.
Because on May 5th, Ad-Rock is spinning at the MoMA while Kathleen Hanna and Say Adams are signing autographs.
Oh, so
if you're in town, drop on by.
Yeah, I will, definitely.
So, Mike, when was the first time you met the Beastie Boys?
Oh, Geez, well, they were doing Check Your Head. That even when my brother got involved, and Mario was involved. So that's because Mario, I went to school with Mario, high school. And so I worked for Mario doing audio, and he got into the music business. I was doing his music rental gear deal. So then I got to meet them, and Ad Rock, they moved out here, and they needed a drum set, and I had drums everywhere. So I sold them a set, took them down, and I didn't think nothing of it. Even the Beastie Boys, they were, you know, they were making their comeback, I guess. Not comeback, but they were trying to
get back on the radar. It was a comeback. Now, were you a fan of the Beastie Boys at the time?
Oh, a huge fan, yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't like, you know, wasn't like, and you know, out here in Hollywood, you meet so many celebrities, it's not that big of a deal, but it kind of got big of a deal when my brother kind of got involved and was actually, had his name on the record, which was really cool.
Now, when did you find out that Mark was going to essentially be a member of the Beastie Boys?
Did
he come home one day and was like, Mike, guess what? I'm going to play keyboards for the Beastie Boys.
Mark's not like that at all.
I know.
He doesn't care. I mean, he's played with so many big artists. I mean, he loves the Beastie Boys. He loves the gig. He loves playing. You know, see him on stage jumping like crazy. That's how he is on stage. But man, besides that, he's pretty mellow. He's a pretty mellow guy. But yeah, he didn't really say, hey, I'm in the Beastie Boys. You know, he didn't go crazy about it, but it was a cool thing. My mom was more psyched than I was.
What did your mom say?
Oh, she was calling all her relatives and everybody.
Now, you were in the Jungle Bugs, right?
Mark had a band. We were called the Jungle Bugs.
Because it was Mark. Mario was in the band too, right?
Mario played the bass. Mario was always fiddling around with electronics and recording. He was always that kind of thinker kind of guy. And Mario played the bass, and there was two other guys in the band. And we just a little bit of house parties and little gigs here and there. Then we turned into the Magnetics after that. Kind of got a little more professional.
Mm-hmm.
Mark wanted to change the name. And we did a few gigs, opened for Chaka Khan at some gig. We opened for Big Audio Dynamite in Hollywood. Yeah. And then from there on, we just kind of like did little things here and there. But Mark was always doing music and still, I mean, the guy's just always writing songs.
I read something somewhere where you were in an act that opened for the Beastie Boys.
Well, Money Mark Band, that was it. I mean, tour in 98.
Okay, the Money... Oh, well, you were in the Money Mark Band.
Yeah, we toured in 1998. We did the world tour.
Got it.
And then, I was the percussionist drummer, along with Alfredo Ortino. Alfredo Ortino, you know, the percussionist for the Beastie Boys.
Yep.
He was the main drummer, so...
Alfredo.
Yeah, we did the whole world tour thingy-ding, and that was super cool.
And
that's where we played a lot of basketball. Every city... basketball before the gig.
So that was '98.
That was 1998. The Intergalactic.
Yeah. I must have missed you guys. We had the tour stop I went to, it was only Tribe. So it was Tribe Called Quest, Beastie Boys.
Okay. That's a trip.
We did not have Money Mark, and the only time I saw Money Mark live, he just went solo. It was him and a little drum machine. So I missed the glory days. I missed the glory days of the Money Mark experience.
That's right. It was us, and then Tribe was after us, and then Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
But I guess we missed you somewhere down the line.
Do you remember the Cleveland Convocation Center in 1998? Maybe I just arrived late.
I had my tour book, but I don't remember that one.
And what are the Beastie Boys like on tour behind the scenes?
Super cool, just hanging out. They're all different. They're all a little different. Mike D's the businessman, a little more uptight.
Right.
Ad Rock's super laid back and just ready to down to do anything. And Yauch's cool, you know, just a laid back, cool cat, you know.
And how seriously do they take things?
Because
part of me thinks that they're fun-loving guys, and another part of me thinks that they are just perfectionists.
I think they're perfectionists. I mean, they're serious, and they're very successful at what they do. So obviously they're pretty thoughtful thinkers. They're they don't mess around. I mean, they like to have fun when they're having fun, but besides that, when they get on stage and get in that mode of, you know, the Beastie Boys, they're pretty serious.
When's the last time you saw the boys?
I saw Mike D, God, I think at Mario's house for a party. It seems like he hangs out more out this way than the rest of them. I know he's married to Tamara, I believe.
Yeah.
But she lives out here, Tamara Davis.
He's got to be bi-coastal.
That's right. That's right.
So what is, now what's Mario up to these days?
Mario's a workaholic. He's always recording, traveling. He's in Jamaica. He's in Brazil. He's in, you know, Europe. He's just doing a lot of recording. Yeah, I don't, he's not too involved, you know, with the Beastie Boys anymore because he's got his own deal going on now. But, you know, he did a lot for him, did a lot with him.
I always wanted to know what he thought when the Beastie Boys put out To the Five Boroughs by themselves, because that was the only album for a long time that Mario C. did not work on.
Yeah, I talked to him about it, but I can't tell you what it says.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, maybe when he gets on your podcast, you can talk about it. But
hey, can you, Mike, can you deliver both Money Mark and Mario C. to the brouhaha?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Can be your West Coast connection.
That'd be awesome. All right, so have you heard any of the new album, which comes out in a couple
of
weeks?
I heard the one cut.
Make Some Noise?
The name of it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah?
I texted my brother. I said, what are they getting these? Did they sample these? What are they getting? He said he believes that they got a lot of the parts from Check Your Head, Ill Communication, just that jamming instrumental, and they pieced a lot of parts together.
Wait, say that again? They sampled, you know, jam outs from back in the day?
Yeah.
No. Are you serious?
That's what he said.
All right.
Because there's some like opening keyboard, like funky keyboard. I go, that's gotta be Mark, and I asked him, like, well, he doesn't remember.
Now,
so I'm pretty sure they...
Is Mark on the new album at all?
I can't tell you if he is or not. I don't like to talk about his business, you know, talk about business too much, but I was trying to, you know, see if he played on it to get credits or whatever, but it sounds like him on there. At least pieces of it.
Right.
That he's done, you know.
So.
But I can't verify that.
Okay, but word around the Nishida household is that the instrumentals are crafted from early 90s Beastie Boy samples.
Jam off at the hip. I mean, I'm sure there's a million. I have some on tape somewhere that they never used, you know, like old cassette tapes. You can
use that for part one, because they're putting out part two before part one. Maybe that'll be part one.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us on the brouhaha.
No problem.
And like
no
I said, problem, if you're ever bored one day and you want to talk about Beastie Boys stories, feel free to give me a call.
I got a ton of stories.
How about before you go? Before you go, give us one more.
Okay, it's a basketball story. Playing basketball, I think it's in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
It was we had a mixed team, you know, the boys against, I think, Mighty Mark Band, 3-on-3, and it got a little physical, and our guitar player accidentally, like, bumped Mike D in the lip really hard. And they almost, a little fight occurred. We broke it up, and, you know, everything was cool from there. But, yeah, they're serious about their basketball. No harm, no foul.
Right.
I wish we can get a little reunion game going.
Okay.
And videotape it or something.
I have a video camera. I would gladly tape it. So if any of the Beastie Boys are listening... The Money Mark Band, they won a rematch.
We challenge you.
They challenge you. All right. The challenge is on.
We'll meet you halfway. We'll meet in Texas or something. Get it on, yeah.
Cool. Well, Mike, thanks again for coming on. And like I said, anytime you want on the brouhaha, the airwaves are yours.
Excellent. Well, talk to you soon, man. And Have a good one, and stay warm.
When we come back, Rhody will put me through the 20 questions ringer, so don't you go anywhere right here on the Brouhaha.
Hey, kids, gather around for Biz's Beat of the Day.
Oh, okay.
Let's all do it together with Biz.
Hey, kids, this is Biz's Beat of the Day. Okay, here's Biz's Beat of the Day. Yum, 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 yum. Now practice that at home, and I'll see you later. Happy Halloween! Bye-bye.
The Brew. Ha, ha, ha.
We have returned on the Brew Ha Ha, and we will end this episode by turning the tables on me. We welcome back Rhody. And Rhody, what is your master plan? Tell everyone.
Well, I'm going to give you 20 questions, Jim.
Yeah, I got an email from you a couple weeks back, and you're like, you know what? Why don't you play 20 questions? And if you don't mind, can I give some preemptive excuses?
Sounds good.
Because I do give excuses. So my first excuse is that I am very vulnerable right now. Just a couple weeks away from the brand new release of Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. I'm not thinking too much about the past. I'm looking forward to the future. So if you wanted to take me down any time, it would be weeks leading up to a brand new Beastie Boys album. And then I have some weaknesses too, but I don't want to tell you what those weaknesses are so you don't take advantage. My one question for you before we start, do the questions start off kind of easy, like I do it?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I pretty much did the same thing that you do with your 20 questions. It builds up. But I do get a little tough there toward the end. I figure if anyone, you know, I figured you should be good.
Rhody, you are the host now.
You ready?
I'm ready. I hope.
All right. Question number one. What MTV VJ hosted the special Live to the Five Boroughs?
Yeah! Yeah! Jim Shear!
Oh, that is excellent.
Yeah!
You know, it's funny, too. I was putting multiple choices on there, and I was like, I really hope I don't have to put a multiple choice on there.
I lived it! Yes!
All right. This next one, number two. What song am I?
Ooh.
Mike reaches into his pocket for the fresh amount. MCA is cool as a cucumber in a bowl of hot sauce. The video features the Beastie Boys trekking through the woods.
My favorite music video of all time, my favorite song of all time. So what you want? Final.
Very good. So what you want is correct.
All right.
Question number three. The remastered version of Hello Nasty featured an alternate version on this too of a previously released track, simply referred to as song title version. So, like, for example, it'd be like body moving version.
Uh huh.
What was the song?
Oh boy, they didn't put the "Can't Stop Won't Stop" because the "Can't Stop Won't Stop" wasn't that. The Grasshopper unit before it was Grasshopper? I don't know. I'm going to take the multiple choice on this.
Okay. All right. We've got A, 20 questions version. B, body moving version. C, intergalactic version. D, live wire version.
I'm hoping that you're going with themes here, and I'm going to say 20 questions version, final answer.
20 questions version is correct.
Oh my gosh! You know what? I think the first couple games of 20 questions, I actually used that song as the lead up into 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Wow. I escaped with that one. Wow.
Okay. Question number four. What album is the song Professor Booty featured on?
Oh, Professor Booty is on the album Check Your Head.
Excellent. That's correct.
All right. Back on track.
All right. Question number five.
which BC album had a number of singles, but only one video that featured the album version of the single? Now, and when I say that, I'm not counting, like, radio edits or, like, censored. I'm talking only one of the videos featured an album version. The rest of them were, like, remixes, live versions, what have you.
Really? Ooh. All right, well, I'm just thinking aloud. On the album Hella Nasty, 3MC's and 1DJ was a live version. Fat Boy Slim's Body Movin' was the video version. Intergalactic was the lone studio song. And if there's no other videos off of that album, yeah, let's do it. Hella Nasty.
Hella Nasty is correct.
Yeah, good question. Because I was thinking, was there a fourth video? If there was a fourth video, that screwed me up, but there was only three, so... All right.
Yeah, that one seems like it should have had more videos. I always felt. But then again, Hella Nasty is my favorite album, so anytime I'm thinking about Hella Nasty, I'm like, it should have done
yeah,
more.
Yeah, no!
It's just been like a four-disc bonus version, you know?
It was a huge album. It's crazy to think that there were only three music videos off of it.
Okay. Question number six. What was the supposed name of the ill-fated Def Jam follow-up of License to Ill?
Oh. The follow-up?
Yes. So, I'll go into a little history. 1989, Beastie Boys are releasing Paul's Boutique on Capitol Records.
Uh-huh.
Russell Simmons threatens to release an album of unreleased tracks.
Give me the multiple choice on this.
Okay. We've got A, Thick Like Beyonce's Leg. B, Paul's Outlet. C, White House. D, License to Ill Part 2.
White House kind of popped out, so I'm going to have to say White House.
White House is correct.
Oh, man. I'm running out. I got one more.
You're good to go. I feel you're gonna come back here. Yeah. All right. Question number seven.
Seven.
When the Beastie Boys released Solid Gold Hits, they released a version with a CD that featured a video for every song on the CD. Which song featured a live performance from Awesome I F and Shabba instead of an actual video?
Brass Monkey.
Brass Monkey is correct.
That funky monkey.
All right. We'll move on to question eight.
Number eight.
Who did the only official remix for To Check It Out?
Just Blaze.
Excellent. Just Blaze is correct.
Yes.
Okay, question number nine. True or false?
True or false? I was always bad at these in school.
All right. So, true or false, Mixmaster Mike drops the European B-Boy mix Beat of Sure Shot during the performance of Sure Shot in Awesome. I F and Shot That.
Wow! See, on that tour, I have many a bootleg where they start off with the original, and then they kick into a little Public Enemy.
Yes.
And then he also, Mixmaster Mike also used some Public Enemy on Skills to Pay the Bills. Part of me thinks that I would remember that. Let's see. And this doesn't make good for good podcast just to hear me groaning. I want to say true. I'm going to say true.
Final answer.
Yeah, I have to go with it. No! See, now I'm going to go back and listen to it. Do you know what beats offhand they used? Or he used?
I know they start with the original.
Yeah, they start with the original. There could be some Public Enemy in there. I don't know. The I think that was in there too. I was there. I lived it, and I went out on a question that I lived. I thought I was gonna go out on who was Rick Rubin's roommate back in 1979 question, but I went out on a question that it should be in there in the back of my head.
In fairness, I know that they switched up some of the audio with other shows, so they could have done it with that beat, you know, when you saw it live.
Yeah, well, but they didn't do it at the Garden on the night they taped Awesome, I Shot That.
Now, since this isn't for a diorama or anything,
okay.
Would you like to continue?
Yeah, let's do it. And I'll try to. Yeah. And if I don't know it, I'll just shout out an answer, so people don't have to hear me thinking about what I want to say.
Question number 10.
Question 10.
In the anthology booklet, as well as on the Sabotage VHS DVD, Mike D can be seen wearing a T-shirt brandishing the logo to what classic 80s sci-fi comedy?
Oh, I got it. I got it. Stop. Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is correct.
Yes. Woo. All right.
And that's my other great love besides Beastie Boys is Ghostbusters. So I had to throw that question.
Now, do you like Ghostbusters 2 as well?
Yeah, I do. It's definitely not as good as the first, but.
Okay. All right.
I enjoy it. Question number 11. This is a multiple choice one right off the bat. According to the anthology booklet, what is the only lyric the Beastie Boys changed? And actually, I'm just realizing this is incorrect. There are two lyrics that were changed.
Ooh.
But the main one that was changed when they recorded their version of Swell and Low. And now, like I said, this is, unless if you know it, I won't go with the multiple choice, but this is what I was going to give you.
Yeah, give me the multiple choice.
Okay. Run DMC is Truer Than Shroom, changed to So Everybody Catch Blue Flu.
Uh-huh.
B, You Know I Only Rock My Adidas Shoe, changed to So Everybody Catch the Boogaloo Flu.
Uh-huh.
C, I See Real Well Because I Have Four Eyes, changed to White Castle Fries Only Come in One Size. D, I Cross All the T's, Dot All the I's, changed to White Castle Fries Only Come in One Size.
Ah, this is a brilliant question. This is a great... This would have been a great 20th question. I want to say, because I have the freaking... I have the Run DMC version of that, too. I'm going to say that they used Run DMC, and that would obviously have to be edited out, so I'm going to say that.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
It's incorrect. So what was the second one, then?
The second one was, You Know I Only Rock My Adidas Shoe.
So let me say, so that would have been my second guess.
That one is also incorrect.
Ah! Is it the Four Eyes one?
Yes.
All right. That makes sense, too, because DMC had those huge glasses. All right, so I would have gone out twice. You want to continue?
Yeah, I'm done. I'll never use these questions again.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Question 12. What song was originally supposed to be released on the anthology Sounds of Science? And I just realized I have, like, three or four questions on here regarding that, but... What song was originally supposed to be released on there instead of She's On It?
Oh, the one with the AC/DC riff in it. No, I'm not... Rock Hard.
Rock Hard is correct.
Rock Hard, yes.
All right. Question 15.
Okay.
What was the name of the ill-fated Beastie film that was to be directed by Spike Jonze in the late 90s?
Sabotage seems like an obvious answer, since he directed it, and I think they were actually toying around with making a film out of it. That would have been, I would say, Sabotage.
That is incorrect.
And the correct answer is?
We Can Do This.
we can do this. Now, was it, what kind of film was it going to be? Did it have like a plot, or was it going to be like a documentary?
Well, I recall, I think it's in the book that talks about the unreleased albums. I can't recall, but I got it to the Paul Boutique book. Dan Leroy, is that it?
Yeah.
And he talks about the Country Mike album, which also features the song We Can Do This.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly it was supposed to be about Country Mike and his battle with alcoholism.
Wow, okay. We Can Do This. Yeah. So it was going to be sort of a mockumentary on Country Mike.
That's my understanding of it.
Okay. Wow, so I've missed three so far.
Question 14. True or false? On the Mike D remix of Moby's song, Natural Blues, Mike is credited as Mike Dr. Bombay D.
Is that a true or false?
That's true or false.
I'm going to have to say true.
True is correct.
Yeah, you would. That would be very dirty of you if that was false.
If that was false, yeah. That would be. All right, question number 15.
Okay.
What 90s sitcom featured a character named directly after a Beastie Boys song, and what was the character's name? A. Third Rock from the Sun, Professor Booty.
Ooh.
B. News Radio, Jimmy James. C. Seinfeld, Johnny Royale. D. Friends, Dr. Lee, PhD.
The Jimmy James, or no, the Professor Booty sounds like it would go with the Third Rock from the Sun, so that's what I would say.
Jim.
Jimmy James!
On news radio, yep.
Who do you know? What actor played Jimmy James?
Steven Root. Most people know him from Office Space.
Yeah.
Bumpy guy.
Yeah, the guy that burned the office down.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, you're just taking me apart, Rhodey. Just end it now.
We are on to 16.
16, okay.
And this is one that I think is very hard, and this is something I only recently discovered.
Okay.
And so, when I think this is hard compared to the others, I'm a little worried.
Okay.
Now, what is the only... Now, this is the only major release to credit Beastie Boys as the Beastie Boys, as opposed to just Beastie Boys on the cover. And when I say major release, I'm saying you could get this at, you know, like any local record store or whatever, but it's not necessarily an album.
Oh.
Readily available when it came out.
So it's not necessarily a studio album?
Correct.
It could be like
a compilation or an EP or something.
You know what? I'll say Solid Gold Hits.
The Root Down EP.
Ah! So that's the only one that says the Beastie Boys.
That's the only one that I've seen. And I saw that, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. It just popped up on my Zoom. Yeah.
No, that's a good question. Because I was thinking of, like, I know the... For Solid Gold Hits, they busted out the old logo, and I was thinking maybe they put a the, like, at the top of that diamond. But I guess they didn't.
Right.
All right. Continue the bloodletting, please.
Question 17. When the Beastie Boys released To the Five Boroughs in 2004, Liam Howlett of The Prodigy again caused Beastie Boys Prodigy controversy by saying what about the album? This is also, you know, kind of like a generic complaint.
I would think that he said it was too one-dimensional.
I will accept that. His exact quote was they needed to make their beats doper.
Oh. Okay. maybe he did think it was one-dimensional. If all the beats sounded non-dope.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Question 18. When the Beastie Boys appeared on Futurama, they were shown performing Intergalactic.
Mm-hmm.
According to the show writers, what song did they originally want to depict them performing?
See, Intergalactic makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Fight for your right to party?
That is correct. Fight for your right to party.
Oh, all right. I just, yeah, pulled that one out of my butt.
Question 19.
Question 19.
Besides Railroad Blues and Country Mike's theme, name a track from Country Mike's greatest hit.
From my memory, Rapper's Delight is on there.
Interesting. I'll give you a half credit on there. There's a track called Country Delight.
It was the country version of Rapper's Delight.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'll accept that then.
Woohoo! Yeah.
All right. Now this is the big one right here. This, question 20.
Yeah. Imagine if I went 19 straight. The pressure right now.
On the director's commentary on the Beastie Boys video anthology.
Okay.
Spike Jones would call other directors using what alias? You ready?
Yep.
All right. We got A, Ralph Cunningham. B, Ralph Jones.
Mm-hmm.
C, Ralph Spaulding. D, Ralph Roberts.
The Ralph Spaulding sounds very familiar, so I would go with Ralph Spaulding.
Ralph Spaulding is correct.
Ah! Oh, wow. Wow. All right, so if I had gone 19 and I still had that multiple choice, it's good to know that I would have won, but I lost a long time ago, and I think I missed 3 or 4 questions. So, Rody, many thanks.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
So, for Rody, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yins later.
Because I got my shirt
I got a hole in my head. No wonder things. I gotta train my thoughts. I'm thinking too much. Chasing every one to take. Take, 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 take. Gotta get it back. Got to break.
Now I'm like Lee Perry. This is very cool. Rock the mic, go very cool. Go like war body. I'ma keep quitting. Never quit until I get it on.
What's that, Mike?
Yes, indeed. It's fun time.
That's all that. that's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.